理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to Advanced. It's time to start our August lessons, so join us today as we talk about managing your emotions in the workplace. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello, Doris.
It's good to welcome all the people listening, either in Radio Land or they're looking on their computers. If you're driving your car, I hope you just have it in on your MP3. Whoever knows where everybody's listening. Say hello to them all. Hello out there.
Hello,
hi,
everyone.
To all of our listeners.
Pam, it's so nice to have you here. Usually you're far away listening into Studio Classroom in the United States.
That's right, Doris. I have to listen now via or by my computer. It's exciting, though, to have the opportunity to get to watch the programs and get to listen to Advanced Radio by computer now.
We're glad that you can come out to be with us every now and then. And isn't it great to have Pam in our class today? We're so glad to have you.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
And we're on page 8. And this is an article. It's called Under Psychology, because it's talking about the way we act or think or feel. Is that very important, Pam?
I think it's very important to be able to, as the title says, manage our emotions. To manage something just means to be able to control or take good care of our emotions. And today we're talking about being able to manage them in the workplace.
Well, it's nice to have you as one of our panelists today. And then we have our younger panelist, Ethan, who will be in school soon, but we're glad you can be on some programs before you go back to the university.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Doris. And I was just thinking that Pam was on the panel that I was on the first time I ever did Advanced. And I was just remembering all that I learned from being with her and then from the other people, and now looking at today's article, how I can continue to learn with Advanced.
And Bill wasn't on it then, but he has joined our team, and it's always nice to have Bill on our panel. Bill, tell us something about the lesson we're going to study today on page 8.
Well, Doris, books have been written on things like this as far as how to get along in the workplace. And this, I've had a lot of experience with this. I worked for corporations for about 20 years, so I've seen the whole spectrum of emotions in the workplace. So I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Well, we certainly have to manage them. We're always going to have emotions, because emotions are the way we feel about things. And we wouldn't be alive if we didn't feel things. Is there anything wrong with having emotions?
No. As you say, Doris, it's normal. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. But as you get older, as you mature, you learn that sometimes it's inappropriate. It's just not proper to show your emotions fully when you're on the job. It's not considered very professional.
Some people aren't able to draw that line. Pam makes a very good point, and they bring too many of their emotions to work. We all have difficulties as far as family and marriage and things like that. It's going to affect us, but sometimes we need to leave some of that stuff at home.
Leave it outside the door when you come into the office. And on page 8, there's a picture of someone who looks like they're very upset here. And under that, there's a caption. Read that caption.
It says, success at work means channeling your emotional energy into productive activities.
We all want to be successful at work or in whatever we do. But what does that actually mean here then?
Doris, that just simply means if we look at the verb channeling, to channel means to direct the flow into something else. And so the writer is just saying you need to find a better way to direct these emotions into something that's more productive on the job.
I found, Doris, the biggest challenge I had working in the corporate world as far as an emotion was anger. And that was something that I encountered not just with coworkers, but it personally was something I had to deal with. And it's not easy dealing with that.
Well, anger is one of the strong emotions that everybody has to deal with. They have to learn how to handle it and how to diffuse or make it so it doesn't explode. But we're going to read about how we can manage them in the workplace. It's a very useful article. And if you don't need it yourself, pass it on to your boss or someone else who works in the office with you. Let's start reading now and do the whole first part. We'll just read first two paragraphs.
Managing your emotions in the workplace. Success at work means channeling your emotional energy into productive activities. A big part of achieving success is learning to manage your emotions. We all have hot buttons that can lead us to become anxious, angry, or even burned out. Learning to be aware of our feelings, as well as the surrounding situation, will allow us to develop alternate responses and redirect our emotions in positive, constructive ways. All of us face moments when we experience anxiety on the job. The important thing is to zero in on precisely what's making you uncomfortable and turn it into an opportunity to learn. If your supervisor questions your performance, for example, try to turn him into a mentor who will personally help you do better through coaching and feedback.
The first sentence says that if we want to achieve success or become successful, we must learn to manage our emotions. And they call this emotional stability, and they talk about your EQ. You've heard about the IQ, which means your intelligence quotient. What is the EQ?
Well, EQ stands for your emotional quotient, and it's how you manage your emotions.
Okay. And they often talk about if a person is very good in technical skills, but they don't have good EQ, they might not get the job or get fired.
In a lot of cases, Doris, somebody may have a high IQ. That means they're technically competent, very, very smart, but oftentimes they have a low EQ. They don't know how to relate to their coworkers. And no matter how smart you are, if you can't relate to your coworkers, it's going to be a problem situation.
I hear this all the time, don't you, Pam?
Yes. That's why I think this article is important to all of us. A lot of our listeners probably work in offices, and they may at times have a hard time dealing with their own emotions, but it's helpful to know how to deal with your coworkers' emotions as well.
It's interesting how they talk about buttons and pushing hot buttons and so forth. That just means if somebody does something that causes you to become emotional, you could say they've pushed your buttons in that sense. That's an interesting expression.
That's right. We know the word hot refers to, in this case, something that is just a strong, here, a strong emotion. You would have strong emotions about this particular issue or this particular topic, and you may become emotional about it if someone brings it up.
Typically, Doris, we may have one or two things that each one of us has that really, really bothers us. For instance, I had a supervisor in the past. Probably the number one thing for him was punctuality. And if anybody was late for a meeting, this supervisor would react with such anger that it struck me, this is really strange, but that was his hot button.
I was thinking of the same thing, that for me, one of the important things is that I'm always on time. And whenever someone's running behind, I start to feel angry. And once I get that anger building, I have a hard time clearing my mind and focusing on what I need to do. And so it's practicing putting that anger aside so that I can focus on the task at hand and get it done.
Well, it's good that Ethan's learning that now. He's so young, only 20 years
old.
That's
exactly right.
And some people don't learn that when they're 40 years old. So you need to start to recognize what things bother you and learn to deal with them. Be aware of them. And then you can develop another kind of response. You can say, uh-oh, this is going to make me angry. I better do something else. What is my response going to be? Doesn't mean it still won't bother you. It might bother you still if people are late, but you'll respond in a different way. Try to think of an encouraging way to get them to come on time instead of becoming angry, because becoming angry doesn't solve the problem.
I think that's an important point, that although it is important not to have these extreme displays of emotion, it is important to deal with them. If we keep pushing them down and bottling them up, eventually we're going to have an even bigger reaction later on. So it is important to deal with them, maybe confront the person, say, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you could try and make it on time so that we can all get on with what we need to do. So try and deal with it in a positive way.
You might have said that 100 times, they still don't come. So you just have to think of some ways to redirect your emotions to something more constructive or positive. The second paragraph of our lesson on page 8 that starts in line 10 says that we all face this. If you say, I don't have any problems, there's something wrong with you, because we do face these things.
That's exactly right. Well, the writer tells us that we all face anxiety on the job. And Doris, I would say if we don't face anxiety on the job, we must not be working in a workplace or relating to people.
You don't do anything,
That's
right.
That's right.
Well, there's a good idiom here. What is the idiom in this paragraph?
The idiom, Doris, is in line 12, the important thing is to zero in on precisely what's making you uncomfortable. And to zero in means to target and focus on specifically the one issue at hand.
Because if you find yourself getting frustrated or angry, what is it that's making me angry? I like these people. Why am I upset with them? Then you think about the things they do.
Doris, that's a very good point. And it took me a long time, until maybe 10 or 15 years into my career, for me to be able to step back from a problem situation and say, why is this bothering me? Not just the initial step one, this is bothering me, but then move to step two at that same time, say, why is this bothering me? And then I was able to think through things more clearly.
Well, Bill, that's a good idea, but let's go to step three, because if somebody says something to you like Bill or Ethan or something like that, and they question something about you, instead of becoming upset with them and saying, well, you're not so perfect yourself, you know, or it's not any of your business or whatever you might say, you might turn this into kind of a thing, say, well, I guess I do have a problem with that. Could you help me?
That's exactly right. And the writer uses a word. The word is mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, in line 16. And a mentor is just someone who's more experienced and you trust them to give you advice and help.
Now, that might work and it might not work. I'm not sure that will always work, because if somebody's very busy, Bill, if you're a supervisor and somebody comes along and says, will you help me do this? You might say, oh, come on, grow up. You have to help yourself. Mm-hmm. Might not always work.
Well, I think this is going a little far in that you can make the person a mentor, but I think we all do have a natural reaction of trying to be defensive whenever someone criticizes us. And I think it's good just to, instead of being defensive all the time and taking personal offense, we can say, okay, well, can you give a suggestion on how I would do it better, and try and learn, even in a small instance, how we could better the company.
And Doris, this is something that I've learned from you. I think at one time you said to me you should go through life as a learner, and I really believe that no matter how old you get. And so I think even in indirect ways you can learn, you can observe your supervisor, you can observe others who've been on the job longer, and learn from them and turn this into a positive learning experience.
Ethan made a good point, Doris, about we're defensive naturally, and rather than saying, well, you're not perfect, or I didn't make a mistake, I had to learn over time to respond by saying, maybe you are right, or you've given me something to think about here, or let's talk about this. And that's a much better response, and it will help defuse the situation.
Well, those are some good tips. Now, the next couple of paragraphs talk about that. Let's read tips for controlling emotions.
Tips for controlling emotions. When something does not go as you expected and you feel anxious or upset, it helps to understand that these feelings are part of the package. The most seasoned professionals still feel anxious at times. The trick is to keep it under control. You have to decide to take each day as it comes. Do your planning, tend to your own job, be obsessive about details. Produce the best quality product or service you can, and success will come. One technique, which may help keep you on an even keel in your work, is to develop a systems approach to your job. Set priorities and do first things first. Use checklists. Try to put more structure in your job so you're not drained by hundreds of small decisions. Save your energy for the momentous decisions. This will allow you to devote more time and reflection to the most pivotal items. Be sure to get adequate feedback from your clients and supervisor. Then you can be very clear on the type and quantity of work that is expected of you.
Well, we have some tips here for learning to control these emotions. And the very first thing the writer tells us is when something doesn't go as you expect, you may feel anxious or upset. And I think that's just part of life. Things don't always and sometimes don't usually go as we expect them to.
It's interesting that we have an idiom here called it's part of the package. What kind of a package? We talk about packages a lot.
Well, this idiom means something that's included as a component in a set of things. But really what that means is part of the package. We could also say that's just part of life, or that's part of the job.
We talk about package deals. Sometimes you'll take a trip. Instead of buying an airplane ticket, you'll have a package deal, which includes your hotel, maybe breakfast, and that's part of your package. When you go to work for a company, they'll say, well, you get insurance and so many holidays and so forth. That's your package. So a package means what is wrapped up in this for you. When we have a package, there's things inside for us, and it's become a very common idiom.
Well, and I think what we're saying here is that we are emotional beings, that emotions are part of us. And so when something happens, we will have an emotional reaction to it no matter what. It's just learning to take that emotional reaction and, as we said earlier, to channel it into a way that we can better use it for the company.
And the next line here, line 21, talks about the most seasoned professionals, which means more experienced people. The more experienced you are, still, you'll be anxious sometimes, maybe not as much. But the point is, or the trick is, what do you do to do it? You have to keep it under control. And you have to decide, okay, whatever happens today, I'm going to not lose control.
That's right, Doris. There's the word that we use around here a lot, and the word is flexibility, or we have to be flexible. You just roll with things as they come along.
I think a lot of things that bother people in the workplace, though, are not even their own things. And it says here in the line 25 is that when you do your planning, you tend to your own job and so forth. Now, a lot of people are so busy because they're trying to take care of everybody else's job. Did Ethan do his? Did Bill do his? If I do my own, that's enough.
That's right.
And sometimes people get too involved with other people's jobs, and that makes them upset, too.
Well, this has to do with relating to coworkers, and also later in the article, Doris, we'll see the term delegate, and you need to be effective as far as delegating, giving work to the proper people rather than trying to do everything yourself. Then you become overwhelmed.
But you do have to take care of the details, and you have to be obsessive, which means that you keep going over those details over and over so you can have the best product. But when things don't go well, like you said, you have to be flexible.
That's exactly right. Now, the next tip they tell us, or one technique, to keep you on an even keel, and that just simply means to help you stay calm and not likely to suddenly change so that your emotions won't be going up and down, is to develop a systems approach in your work.
I think you do that, Ethan. Don't you have kind of a systems approach to your job?
Well, I try and take a very direct approach, and I try and plot, okay, what do I need to do today? And then I take a calendar that I have on my computer, and I set up, okay, on Monday, this is my schedule. I have time here. What is the most important thing? And I can plug in, okay, the order of things that I want to do.
Priorities is very important. We've talked about them before at Yoshin Chen, the things that you must do first. And I think we have to use checklists, but I find I have all kinds of checklists, but things change. And somehow the last one has to go to the first sometimes. There's a priority that comes up or changes because of something that happens. So you have to be flexible. If you're not flexible, you have a big problem. And checklists are very important. I have them all over my desk. I'm always changing them. Do you do that, Phil?
Yes. And right next to checklist, Doris, tied in with that is I wrote goal list. And this has to do with prioritizing, as you said. We need a checklist to say what we have to do, but we also need a goal list to say what is the most important things, and we need to do those in that order.
I think one of the things that has helped me is that I'm a person who really wants to help others. And so when I set my priority list, I can say, well, I'd really like to help, but it gives me the ability to say, no, I've already booked this time and I can't help you. I'm sorry. And even though I may want to, it's not something that would be beneficial for me to do it.
You have to save your energy for the things that you must decide that have to do with your job. You can't waste all your energy on somebody else's job, although they might like you to if you're the helpful kind.
That's right. And I think we can see what the writer is saying here is that there could be 1,000 details within a single day. And that's why priorities are important. But because if not, we're drained by all these small things that keep coming up. And drained by just means your energy is wasted away by all of these little things.
You make a good point, Doris. And Pam was talking about drained in line 33. We can be drained if we just keep saying yes to all of our coworkers. Oftentimes, human nature is we want to please people. But there are times when we say, no, I can't do that. Sorry, I can't help you. And it's important to put that block up.
Well, we do have to devote time, like it says in line 35, for reflections, for thinking about the things, and some of the most pivotal items. What are the pivotal items?
That just means, Doris, something that's central and everything else depends on that pivotal thing.
Okay. So you have to get feedback from your clients and your supervisors and then redo things over again, prioritize and say, well, I better get this one going today. I better not wait till tomorrow because they need it today. You have to change, don't you?
That's right. And I think one of the things that has helped me is that I set my priority list, but I also make sure that there is some flexibility in my schedule so that if something runs over time, a meeting maybe goes over half an hour, I can say, okay, well, I had this time plotted here where I could do something else, and I can rearrange my schedule so that I have that flexibility. Then I don't feel as frustrated. My emotions don't kick in, and I don't get as frustrated. I can keep focused on what I need to do.
So if you can learn that at 20 years old, I hope everybody
else can
learn.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That's good. Set your priorities, have your checklist, but keep on an even keel. Don't let things put you out of balance. Keep your balance. It's not the end of the world if your priority list gets changed a little bit. You might think so. Just do it again and then say, okay, I guess this is more important, and then be flexible.
One thing I think about stuff that would upset me at work and I would get angry at, I need to remember that this too shall pass. And oftentimes, something that upsets us today, a week later, we don't even remember what happened. And so it's the key not to get too emotionally involved or too upset because it usually is pretty minor and will pass.
And remember, a little laughter can relieve the situation and just make a little joke out of it. And don't let things bother you too much. Don't take things too heavily. Do your best. But I think we do have a feature today, so let's have our feature.
Ken Stevens comes home after a long day at the office. His wife, Candy, has dinner waiting for him.
Oh, home at last. I'm sorry I'm so late, honey.
Hi, honey. Dinner's on the table. Has been for about 2 hours. I'm glad you're home, but what's going on, Ken? Every night you come home later and later. How much work do you have to do?
I know, Candy. I've been working way too much. I feel like I'm going to burn out. But we've got some pivotal projects that need to be completed before their deadlines next week.
Whoa, sounds like you're in a real crunch. Is your boss giving you too much to do? Maybe too much responsibility?
Hey, I can handle it.
Whoa, love, I'm on your side. I'm just worried about you. It seems like not only are you working too many hours, but I think it's affecting your attitude and your health.
I'm sorry. I have been upset lately, Candy. All day long, I've got people pushing my hot buttons. Do this. Do that. Where's this report? Is that proposal finished? Ugh!
Oh, that sounds so stressful, Ken.
In fact, I yelled at my secretary today simply because she made a couple typing mistakes. First, I was angry. Then I was upset with myself for yelling at her.
I can see you're under a lot of pressure. We've got to do something to get you back on an even keel. This stress isn't good for you, and definitely no fun for me either.
Can I work on it later? Maybe this weekend? There are a couple of pivotal presentations this week, and I just don't see how I can approach my work any other way but with high energy and anxiety.
No, sweetie. We're going to help you develop a systems approach to your job so you don't go crazy. And today, right now, is a good time. It's as good as any to get things under control. Are you with me, Ken?
Okay, I'm with you, Candy. You're right. Hey, let me eat dinner, and we can talk about this more then.
Candy has made up her mind to help Ken turn things around at work. Join us tomorrow to see how successful she is.
Well, she did get a lot of good vocabulary words in, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Good. the thing is that when we want to manage our emotions, it's better for us. They say that people will not get sick as easily. They even say that doing emotional stress, if you're under too much emotional stress, you could even get cancer and some of those things that are so damaging to your health.
It definitely affects your health. And a recent study that I read, Doris, says that stress actually has a stronger effect on men's health. And so I think that's a good word to the wise for the men in our studio today.
Can you look out, Bill. Yeah.
Yes, it can affect things, not only cancer, but particularly heart attacks and also stomach ulcers. Those
blood
are the
pressure.
Two big things as far as health issues for men and stress.
I think about when I get really stressed with schedules and I start thinking about, oh, no, I'm not going to meet my deadlines, and that I start not sleeping well at night, and then that just compounds the issue as well because I can't come in fresh and aware and work really hard on something because I'm just tired then.
I remember an article I read in the Reader's Digest years ago, and I've read it over since then. It says, stress, is it the cause of all illnesses? Because stress has a lot to do with breaking down your body's system. So if you want to keep well and healthy, you must manage your stress, manage your emotions.
And Doris, you make a good point because it's something that we should deal with today. Most people say, oh, I'll deal with it later, and then they keep going through this work thing, and it turns into years and years, and they never deal with it, and it breaks down the body.
And we've used some very good idioms today. We talked about to zero in on, means to find out exactly what the problem is, and to keep things on an even keel. Those are good words that we've learned that can be part of our vocabulary.
That's right. These are words that our listeners could begin to use today. Try putting these into your conversation today.
And be sure that you come back tomorrow when we finish this article on managing your emotions in the workplace or keeping up your good EQ. Have a good day, everyone, and be sure to manage your own emotions. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.